This Chuba Drasha is entitled Tkia Shofar on Motzei Yom Kippur. I'd like to explore the Makar or Mikaros for the Tkia Shofar. We'll see in Rishonim a number of different approaches. You have in front of you about 7 pages of Mar Mikomos. It's highly doubtful that I'll be able to succeed in going through all of them, but we'll try our best to explore as many as we can. In the upper right-hand corner, in the Eitz HaGa'inim, Rav Hai Gon was essentially asked this question: what's the makar for blowing the shofar on Matzah Yom Kippur? So Rav Hai Gon initially indicates that Kimeduma Li Shehu Zeichel Yovel Shehu B'Yom HaKippurim. The pasuk says, "Va'avarta shofar tua b'chodesh hashvi b'asar l'chodesh." Can take a look at number 9 in the lower left-hand corner of page 1. Bayom HaKippurim ta'aviru shofar b'chol ha'artzuchem. This takes place on Yom Kippur, and the Rav Hai Gon assumes that this is Zeichel Yovel. That's one reasoning that he presents. The last line of the Eitz HaGa'inim, citation from Rav Hai Gon, Inami, k'dei la'arver es ha'sotan. We're trying to confuse the sotan. The Meiri, also in his classic Chibur al HaTshuva, cites this second reason of Rav Hai Gon, Li'arve v'sasotin. The Shibali Aleket found in item number 3 on page number 1. He quotes Rav Hai Gon as well. He presents the first reason, namely Zeichel Yovel, as being the basis of this practice. But he adds a new dimension to the reasoning. And he writes over there, in the middle of the section, since the calculations of the Jubilee year were not computed with absolute accuracy, so Chazal enacted that we should blow every year Matzah Yom Kippur in commemoration of the Yovel when the Beis HaMikdash was extant. That's the comment of Rav Hai Gon, but the Shibali Aleket adds this additional dimension. In item number 4, the Tur Shulchan Aruch, also on page number 1, tells us, quoting the Mordechai, that, look at the underlined section, V'tokin Tashrak, Zeichel Tkiyas HaYovel, Shehoisa, again, the reason why we're blowing, Zeichel Tiyovel, Shehoya B'Yom HaKippurim. On this, the Beis Yosef comments to the left, V'yesh shekosu shein tokid al tkiya achas. There are those who only blow one tkiya, some blow tashrat, they're different minhagim. And then he raises a fundamental difficulty with this reasoning of Zeichel Yovel in the name of Agos Maimonios. If you look in the section that begins, U'ma shekosav shetkiya zo u'zeichel tkiya sayovel, ken kosav ha-Mordechai, aval Agos Maimonios asks the following question, Shemisha omer ken toel, one who contends that this is to commemorate the Yovel is laboring under an egregious error. Dimkein lo hayo lo litkoa ela b'yom ha'kippurim. Atzmo, b'shnas ha'yevel. If the whole basis of Tkiyas Shofar Matzah Yom Kippur is Zeichel Yovel, we should only blow Shofar in the Shnas ha'yevel, in the Jubilee year, on Yom Kippur. Why would this reasoning warrant the blowing of the Shofar on an annual basis every Yom Kippur when it should be limited to a Shnas ha'yevel? This is a very fundamental question that is asked by the Agos Maimonios. So as a result of that, Rishonim offer other reasonings for the Tkiyas Shofar and Matzah Yom Kippur, outlined by the Medrash, and also quoted by Tosfos in Yuma and the Pesachim of Beis. Take a look directly below the number 4. Tosfos in Yuma quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says that on Matzah Yom Kippur, a baskol comes down in Hashemayim, v'yomeres, lech echol b'simcha lachmecha, ki kvar rotza elokim es ma'asecha. Hashem is so enamored of Klal Yisrael, so pleased with Klal Yisrael. And as a result, that's the basis for blowing shofar on Motzei Yom Kippur. Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos, upper left-hand corner, page number 1, on Daf Kuf Yudal Amud Beis, item number 5. Tosfos actually also rejects the reasoning of Rav Hai, and he says over there, look in the underlined section, V'lo kimachzorim shekasovem shetkiya zecha leyevel. He asks the same question. If it's Zecher LeYovel, why should we blow on an annual basis? Does Yovel take place every year? So Tosfos suggests that Mikiyah Sheva functions, and he writes, Lohidia Shehu Laila V'Achilu Es B'neim She'esanu. We want to make sure that our children who fasted, that the Baruch Hashem will be able now to have a Seuda. V'gam Lohochin Seuda Matzoy Yom Kippur Shukein Yom Tiv. Moshe Yosser HaPaiton. He quotes from one of the Paitonim, Acha Gemar Mitzui Echol Beditzui V'Ritzui. Rather poetic flourish over here. After a person has been squeezed, as it were, as a result of the tightness, so now one has the opportunity to eat with great simcha, beditzui v'ritzui. Ravai, in his tshuva, was clearly aware of this question that all Rishonim asked on him. And responding, he simply indicated that due to a lack of clarity in the calculation of the years of Yovel, we blow every Yom HaKippurim zecher leYovel. Every year constitutes a kind of suffix Yovel. That's how Ravai responded to this question. But still, the fundamental question, which I would like to explore this evening, and to put it in terms that Rashi uses in Chumash, Ma'in and Shemitah, Eitzel Har Sinai. The fact that we blow the shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel is a seemingly disparate mitzvah, a totally separate mitzvah, having no connection to a regular Matzah Yom Kippur. What's the connection between the mitzvah say to blow shofar in the 10th of Tishrei during a Jubilee year to the minute that we have to blow every Matzah Yom Kippur? Seemingly, there's no nexus. There's no organic connection between these two. That's question number one. Secondly, the chinuch, if you look here in item number 8 on page 1, in mitzvah Shin Lamed Aleph, he states unequivocally regarding this mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar B'Yovel, V'noheges mitzvah zu be'eretz Yisrael b'zman she'yovel noeg. When was this mitzvah operative? Dafke in Eretz Yisrael, during the time of Yovel. The Minchas Chinuch actually, in his parish, which you don't have in front of you, quotes the Turi Eben of Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes, who says explicitly that this mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar of Yovel is not relevant to Chutz Aretz, because the Torah says very clearly, look on the lower left-hand corner of page 1, item number 9, there the Torah writes, B'chodesh Hashvi'i B'asal HaChodesh, Ta'biru Shofar B'chol Arzichem. The Torah is very clear. This mitzvah applies not in Chutz Aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam as well, in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, is also found on page number 7, look in the upper left-hand corner. Rambam quotes in Shmita V'Yovel, he mentions that this mitzvah is not extended to Chutz Aretz. U'mavir in shofar b'chol gvul Yisrael. So what one has to derive from here is quite clear. Only in Eretz Yisrael is there mitzvah tkiyah shofar b'yovel. If that's the case, why do we blow in Chutz Aretz on Yom Kippur, Motzei Yom Kippur? Even when Yovel was operative, they only blew the shofar in Eretz Yisrael. Ma keshel Chutz Aretz. And we know that shofar is blown universally b'chol olam kulo on Motzei Yom Kippur. And even though we take the lulav today, all 7 days of Sukkot, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has a takona of Zecher LeMikdash. That was a particular takona of Yochanan ben Zakkai, and that takona was enacted universally in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Aretz. But it would seem from these Rishonim that Tkiyah Shofar on Yovel is a chov, an obligation that is endemic to Eretz Yisrael. So why do we blow in Chutz Aretz? So these are a number of the questions that are fundamental when we examine this mitzvah of blowing shofar on Motzei Yom Kippur. And for this reason, many Rishonim rejected the time of Rav Haigon, and they suggest other timing. For example, the Taz writes that we know that when Hashem Yisbarach gave the Torah in Har Sinai, and then the Pasuk says, "Bimshoch Hayovel, Heima Yalu Bahar." That was the siman that now the Shechina has left. The word Yovel there is the subject of Machlokes Rishonim, but the term Yovel is used by the Torah. Siluk Shechina, perhaps it refers to the shofar. The moment the shofar is blown, that marked Hashem's departure from Har Sinai. And there are other explanations, such as I saw many years ago in the World of Prayer by Rabbi Monk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the chief rabbi of Paris. So he suggested in that sefer, I haven't seen that in decades, that the shofar of Yosef had the legal effect of freeing slaves. And so too, the shofar heralds our freedom from the domination of the evil inclination. And we're going to talk about this very beautiful explanation of our Among Zatzal in the course of the shir. So obviously, that also heralds to us the shofar gadol that is going to be blown b'mei HaMashiach. Tesis in Maseches Megillah, also on item number 10, on page 1, in the left-hand side, Tesis actually accepts the contention of Rav Haigon. And he writes, I'm going to read part of the Tesis, you can see it inside. Achnisha l'ri alevi, the Ri alevi was asked, Ech token b'motzoy Yom Kippur? V'aloi osu lasis melocha. How would we blow a Matzoy Yom Kippur when you're not allowed to do melocha? Achi abdil t'imek Abdullah. Question number 1, we're blowing before Abdullah. Number 2, Tesis says, the Gemara has Xer de Rabbah. Rosh Hashanah, the falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow because we're afraid that a person will bring the shofar to a baki and might carry dalamas, which is a rabbi. So Tesis asks, why isn't that Xerah applicable over here as well? As Hoyalanu Lamecha, Shlai Xerah. So Tesis answers that the Gemara says, Ki Ashefa Chochmahi Veinam Balacha. The Gam. We're not worried about a person going to someone who's competent regarding shofar, an expert. Why? It's not the same as Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, blowing shofar is a din daraisa. The Torah tells us, Yom Trua Yelachem, and we have to blow minimally 9 kolos, that become 30 kolos, that become 100 kolos. If you're for brisk, it could be several hundred kolos, to be able to call ashitas, call adeos. But here we're talking about a very simple blast of the shofar, and therefore you cannot compare the two situations. Tesis goes further. Rabbi Shmuel, Omar, the Dafka Bishabas of Rosh Hashanah, the Imavir, the Alam, the Shusarabim, Iko Yisur, the Raisa. Zer the Rabba, we're worried the person carrying the shofar, the Alam, the Shusarabim, Vadei Shlochish. Then there's a Chshash. Ab Masoyim Kippur, even if you carry a dalam shesarabim, it's only isla rabbonim. V'havadai lo gozar dav gzera l'gzera. So I'm not going to examine this tesis carefully. It needs a lot more careful iyun. But essentially, I heard from my Rebbe, the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, that tesis is essentially working along the following lines. The blowing of the shofar does not constitute a malacha because it cannot be subsumed under any of the 39 lamites malachas of Shabbos. Tesis even disabuses us of the notion that it's a shmus of a malacha, like the Isra Masu Matan. A person not allowed to conduct business affairs on Shabbos, which is prohibited because of a gzeira shemayichtov, you might come to write, or riding a horse on Shabbos, the Mishnah in Beitza. Again, an Isra of Kotzev, the Rabbanon, you might come to cut off a branch. But Tesis assumes Tia Shefer is essentially a kind of shmus, an Isra D'Rabbanan, what's called Uvdin D'Chol. Akin, let's say, to the prohibition of speaking Divrei Chol on Shabbos, or someone walking Psiagasa, walking very quickly on Shabbos, the only time you're allowed to walk Psiagasa on Shabbos, you're running to shul, you're running to do a mitzvah, that's the Pasuk Yishayo, Im Toshim Yishabbos V'Aglecha, Asos Chavatzecha B'Yom Kotshi, V'Kavassel HaShabbos Onde, Nigdosh Hashem Mechubad, V'Chibartum Yasos T'Vachacha, V'Mtzolchetzecha V'Da B'Dovam. So if Kia Shofar is an act of Uvda Dechol, in reality, it would have been Asr, even a Rosh Hashanah that falls out during the week. However, Vasalveshik Zatzal explained, whatever is performed, the Tzarech Mitzvah is automatically removed from the category of Uvda Dechol. A mitzvah cannot be deemed an act of Chulin. A mitzvah is not an act of Chol. But Tesis was ambivalent regarding the Shofar of Matzah Yom Kippur, because that's only a minute. There's a minute to blow the Shofar of Matzah Yom Kippur. It's not a din. If it's only a minhag and not an absolute obligation, then perhaps it should be also because of the shmus of Uvda Dechol, what the Gemara calls and what the Tesis cites, chochmahi veinu malacha. There's no malacha involved, it's chochma. And if we treat this minhag as an obligatory mitzvah, it should be also because of the gzera of Shemi Avireno, the gzera of the Rabba. Just as we disbar the use of the shofar when the Shona falls on our Shabbos. So, lichora, this question could have been answered by simply postulating a very fundamental premise, that the minute to blow shofar and matzoy Yom Kippur is not a cheves yochid. There's no obligation upon each individual who's davening b'yechidus to blow the shofar and matzoy Yom Kippur. It's a cheves tzibur. It's a communal obligation And the Gzeirah Rabbah was only introduced in the context of a Chayvas Yochid. Only if you have, look at page number 2, you'll see in item number 11, the upper left-hand corner, the Gzeirah Rabbah that the Gemara quotes in a number of places in Shas. So that Gzeirah Rabbah, the Gemara comments, HaKol Chayavim B'Tkiya Shofar. Everyone is obligated to blow the shofar. Not everyone is competent, is a Boki B'Tkiya Shofar. So we're worried that a person will go to a competent Baal Tokea in order to learn how to blow the shofar. So when the Gemara presents this Gzeirah Rabbah, so that is relevant to something which is a communal enactment, something which is a Chayvas Tzibur. So perhaps one could argue that the question that Tosfos posed in Megillah regarding Matzah Yom Kippur is not really a question, because the Chiv Matzah Yom Kippur is not a Chayvas Yochid. It's a Chayvas Tzibur. And therefore, perhaps this Gzeirah Rabbah is only applicable in the context of the Chayvas Yochid. However, Tosfos does not give this answer. Tosfos says, Chochmah Yivein Melacha, this is tantamount to a mitzvah, and somehow is not considered to be a Maaseh Rishus, a Davar Shel Chulin. And again, this requires a lot more discussion, which I'm not going to focus on right now, but there is such a practice, as we know, to quote the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, take a look here on page number 2, the upper item, number 12. The Mechaber says, Zachar Tfila, Maria and Tua Gedola, Belot Kia, that's what the Mechaber paskins. There are Sfarim to do that. V'yesh Mekomus Noagim, Lachsu V'litkoa, Lam Nikolos, this is talking about, according to the Ramah on Rosh Hashanah, once a person has discharged the obligation to blow shofar, I'm no longer mechuyev in the mitzvah of tkiya shofar. Any further tkiyas would be a shvus, would be an isa d'rabbanan, would be a maisechol. Yet our minhag is to blow 100 kolos, according to the Aruch, quoted by the Tosfos, based on Yerushalmi, because of Meir Pius, the poi imid the sisra, the 100 cries uttered by the mother or sister, even though Menatara were already Yotze, we blew 9 kolos that became 30 kolos because of the suffix of Rabbi Abo, and the other 70, based on Yerushalmi, is considered to be a mitzvah somehow, overriding the Maaseh Rishus of the Uvda D'chol. So just to sum up, there are really two major reasons for blowing a Matzah Yom Kippur. One is Zeichel L'Tkiya Shel Yovel, as Rav Haigon indicated, and according to this reasoning, one should blow Tashrat, which I believe is the minhag of Temanim, mentioned by the Mechaber here in Shulchan Aruch. But the second possible reason, a simen for Siluk Shechina. Matan Torah, Bimshoch HaYovel, Hema Yalu Bahar, and if that's the case, one call would suffice. But I think the predominant minhag is to blow. Many people like Tkiya Gedola. That's a very popular kind of call. Tkiya Gedola, it's dramatic apparently, melodramatic. Often people don't necessarily blow the Tkiyas properly, but the Tkiya Gedola, that they're into. We have to be concerned about following the halacha with great precision. Tosfos in Megillah on Daf Chaf and Beis, directly below, which is found in item number 14, tells us the Achash Sheberach al Hasfira is talking about Sfiras HaOmer. We know that after Sfiras HaOmer, the Ashkenazi communities, the practice is you count, and you count with a bracha, and then you say Harachaman uYachsi Lono Avodas BeSabidish Bimkomo, and he writes Mashenkein Bitkia Shofar. The Lula, the last two lines of Tosfos. This doesn't apply to Tkiya Shofar. You don't say Harachaman or Lulav. So Lulav, we understand. We mentioned a moment ago, the Takana of Evechon Metzakai, the Lulav should be taken Kol Shiva all 7 days, Zechel HaMikdash. So here, there's a question. Why don't we say Harachaman or Yachzilon, Avodas Beis HaMidishim Koma? But Tosfos also mentions Shofar. And he writes that apparently we don't say Harachaman, and he gives the explanation. That whenever you have simply askara, just to mention binyan beis hamikdash, so somehow that's one genre of mitzvah. I will shofar v'lulav yesh asiyah. Shofar v'lulav there's asiyah. What exactly is Tosfos suggesting over here? He seems to tell us that tkiya shofar constitutes a zechel hamikdash, but this harachamon, or yihiratzav sheibadim esabidish, is only stated regarding the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. There we know we say harachamon o yachzilonu. So prima facie, the premise of Tosfos is astounding. The mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar is a din d'oraisa. So pasuk in Chumash, we have to blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah. What is Tosfos suggesting here? That this is only Zechel HaMikdash. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal thought that perhaps the intent of Tosfos is talking about the shofar of Motzei Yom Kippur, which indeed is a Zecher L'Tkiyah Shofar Shel Yovel. That's what Tosfos is referring to. But I'm not discussing right now the pshat in Tosfos, when you say Harachamon, when you don't say Harachamon. That's another discussion which is also very significant. But we're interested in exploring a bit more carefully the Tkiyah Shofar and Motzei Yom Kippur. What exactly is the nature of that mitzvah? The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah writes, as you see here in item 15 on page number 2, I underlined it, Shova HaYovel Rosh Hashanah L'Tkiyos for the Brachos. There's some commonality, there's some common denominator between Yovel Rosh Hashanah regarding two areas, regarding Tkiyos and regarding Brachos. So Rashi already comments, Rashi is found in item number 16. Rashi indicates, and it's important to read this Rashi, says Rashi, Shava Yovel Rosh Hashanah L'Tkiyah Bipshutin, that you blow, in effect, not kfufin, but pshutin, namely, not a bent shofar, but a straight shofar. The Avogad L'Tkiyoso Biovel Lo L'Tfilah V'Lo L'Zikaron. And Rashi right away indicates there's a distinction between the shofar blown on Matzah Yom Kippur of Yovel and the shofar that's blown on Rosh Hashanah. Namely, that the function of the shofar Rosh Hashanah, says Rashi, is L'Tfila and L'Zikara, as the Gemara comments. However, the shofar of Yovel is L'Simen Shiluach Avonim, number one, that Avonim servants are going to be freed. As the Gemara itself comments, V'Avod L'Elam, the other refers to Yovel, V'Hashmotas Mechira Sodos, so that's a different function than the function of a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And yet, the Mishnah says that there's an equation between the two. It says, Rashi, afilo ochi, ki de Rosh Hashanah boi le mevde. De gamrinan lo log zeh roshava, shvi shvi, perek basra. That apparently it has to be similar to Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi indicates that there's a fundamental distinction between the shofar of Rosh Hashanah and the shofar of Yovel. Tkiyah shofar of Rosh Hashanah functions as a kind of tefillah to Hashem Yisbarach. As the Gemara says, Lahalos, as Zichronim shall Yisrael Abim Shvashamayim, while the Tkiyah Shofar of Yovel revolves around the freeing of slaves. If you look similarly in the Rambam, in Sefer Mitzvahs, Kuf Lamed Zayin, number 17, also on this page, number 2, the Rambam tells you, Shetzibonu Litkar B'Shofar Basar Mitishrei, Mishon Azol Likro Dvor La'avodim. We are emancipating the servants. V'latzis Kolevet Ivri L'cheres V'yom Asir Mitishrei. And then skipping a few lines, the Rambam says in the underlined section, V'yodua, ki atkiyah hi b'yovel omnam b'farsim acheres v'shu min achroza. The tkiyah that takes place in Yovel is to publicize the freedom, and it's a kind of proclamation. V'u amoro, he quotes the pasuk. Those who are Americans are familiar with this pasuk, not necessarily from Chumash, but from the Liberty Bell, the crack Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, that shall proclaim liberty throughout the land, ukrasim dror, ba'aretz l'chol yoshveh, ba'aretz haniskeres, ve'en inyon akin yitkiyas Rosh Hashanah. Right away, the Rambam himself, similar to Rashi, underlies the fact that there's a distinction between the function of the shofar Rosh Hashanah and the function of the shofar on Yovel. Ki hi zikar duvne Hashem, the shofar Rosh Hashanah is the zikara. Rosh Hashanah is called Yom HaZikara. V'zeu, the shofar of Yovel, so we have, in effect, two different genres of mitzvahs, one relating to Rosh Hashanah, one relating to Yovel. Secondly, I would point out the Tkiyah Shofar Rosh Hashanah has no connection to Bezdin. While on Yovel, the Tkiyah Shofar is a function of Bezdin. When the Pasuk says, Va'abarta Shofar Tzrua, V'chodesh Hashi Bechad HaChodesh, that devolves upon Bezdin. That's their function. Well, Tkiyah Shofar, of course, is a mitzvah that devolves upon each yochid. Each individual is obligated in the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. Beyond that, thirdly, the Rambam writes, and we saw this Rambam earlier, Umavir in Shofar, Bechol Gvul Yisrael. And Tosfos here in Rosh Hashanah, if you look on page number 2 in the lower left-hand corner, Tosfos in Daf Lamed, he claims the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar on Yovel is limited to Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned this earlier, and here we have a Tosfos that also indicates that. And the Rambam that we cited earlier
There's a question. When the Rambam says Mavir and Shofar b'chol gvul Yisrael, we cited that Rambam earlier. What does the Rambam mean? So one possibility is to interpret that b'chol gvul Yisrael, dafka in Eretz Yisrael. There are some Sameach claims that that's not the case. That the Rambam could be understood as referring to Chutz Aretz as well. So this is a question that still remains open. And the Shachar Sari also contends that perhaps the Tkiya Shofar of Yovel also relates to Chutz Aretz, but there are Rishonim who clearly indicate otherwise. So we have a number of distinctions between Tkiya Shofar of Rosh Hashanah and the Tkiya Shofar of Yovel. Maybe it's a fourth distinction that I would mention as well, that with reference to Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah is Shmia. We say the bracha, the Shema called Shofar. There are Rishonim, the Rosh, and others actually who cite positions that the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah is Tkiya. But la'alocha we paskin, that's reflected in the bracha, Asher Kiddushan, mitzvah is the Shema called Shofar, that the mitzvah is Shmia. What about Yovel? It's clear that on Yovel, the mitzvah is Tkiya. Look at the Rambam that we saw before in the Sefer Mitzvahs, and the Rambam Mishnah Torah, she's Yivonu Litzkoa, Bishofar, Ba'asor, B'tishrei. The mitzvah is Tkiya. So we've actually drawn a number of distinctions between the Tkiya Shofar of Rosh Hashanah and the Tkiya Shofar of Yovel. Let's also mention a very beautiful Targum Yonasim of the Zeal, item number 19, that on this Pasuk, Va'avarta Shofar Tua V'chodesh Hashvi, Basu L'chodesh, and then the Torah goes on to say, Taviu Shofar B'chol Artzichem. So he adds, Kedarko, Targum Yonasim of the Zeal has many, many absolutely fantastic chidushim. Often he adds words, often he interprets psukim mechumish in light of Chazal, sometimes very creative chidushim. So here he writes, the Torah says, Taviru shofar, says the Targum, I underlined it, number 19, Ta'avrun kal shofar cherusa v'chol aracho. How does he define the shofar of Yovel? Shofar shel cherus. That's the definition of kal shofar of that is blown on Yovel. So let's explore a bit further now the shofar of Cherus that heralds freedom. There's a well-known Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara actually is found. It's item number 21, Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara in Daf Samach Tes. It's also a Gemara in a number of different places. Let's look at 20 first, and then we'll look at 21. In item 20, the Gemara tells us that Ein Eved Ivri Noeg, El Bezman Shayovel Noeg, the concept of Eved Ivri that the Torah describes in Mishpatim, is only relevant during the time of Yovel. And then in number 21, the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Chof. So here the Gemara traces a very fascinating process of a Jew becoming an Eved Ivri. It begins with trafficking with Peiros Shvi'as. The Gemara says that Peiros Shvi'as, La'achla v'lo v'schayra, one is not allowed to traffic with Peiros Shvi'as. And then if one does that, as a consequence, the Gemara says, and it's underlined the different steps, he'll be initially compelled to sell his movables, metaltolin, and then if he, again, does not recognize what he's done, his real estate, and ultimately his own daughter will be sold to slavery, chas v'sholom, as a maidservant, and the final blow will be the selling of himself as an eved ivri. That's how the Gemara describes here the continuum of events, the denouement of an individual who begins with Peiros Shvi'as and then, unfortunately, undergoes a tremendous yerida. The evolution of these steps is a tragedy emanating from one's averos and a downward kind of trajectory, a punishment that ensues. The Eved Ivri is offered the opportunity by the Torah to redeem himself from this demeaning situation through what the Mishnah calls Giron Kesef. If that does not occur, then the Yovel, the Jubilee year, automatically provides him with his freedom from servitude. So Yovel represents, if you will, a kind of geula for an Eved, or even a nirtza, someone whose ears are pierced, who has chosen bondage, is going to be released, Bishnas HaYovel. The initial downfall of the Eved Ivri stemmed from, as I mentioned, the prohibition of trafficking of schora with Peiros Shvi'as. But through the agency of Yovel, he's able to regain his autonomy and independence. The Gulas HaYovel redeems himself, his daughter, his real estate. So even though he underwent many trials and tribulations, and all of them are essentially signposts beckoning him to return, but his final hope lies with the Shnas HaYovel. The Meshech Chochma, Ramea Simcha Kain Bidvinsk, in Parshas Bahar, this you can see on page number 3, in item 22, he beautifully contrasts the Kedusha of Yovel vis-a-vis the Kedusha of Shvias. And he draws a contrast between Yovel and Shvias, at the same time between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos, of course, is parallel to Shemitah, and Yovel is parallel to Yom Tov. So Amir Simcha, in Meshech Chochma, Derech Agav, I imagine many of you are aware that Meshech Chochma was written when he was a very young man. I believe he was 19 or 20 years old when he wrote the Meshech Chochma, which is a sefer that is absolutely marvelous. Moli v'godesh, a sefer that has in it lomdus, machshava, kabbalah, philosophy. So many different elements. It is an absolutely beautiful sefer. And many years ago, Hagoyin Rav Yehuda Kupman Sadzal, the founder of the Michlala, put out an annotated edition of Meshech Chochma, which Ali Yamazeh, to my mind, is absolutely a classic, citing all the Marmikomos and really opening up the sefer to the public. So the Meshech Chochma did not publish the sefer because they told him, excuse me, if you publish the sefer at this point, they'll think you're a darshan. You don't know how to learn, even though the sefer is chock full of lumdus. And so he waited, and it was only published posthumously. After he passed away, and after he already published the Chiddush HaSamech and Shas and other svarim. So he has here an unbelievable comment. Shemitah, or Shvius, is likened to Shabbos, because the Gemara says that the Kedusha of Shabbos is Kavua V'Kaima. Baruch Atah Hashem V'Kadosh HaShabbos. Ribbono Shalom is the one who sanctifies the Shabbos. It's not dependent upon Klal Yisrael observing Shabbos, but Shabbos is something that the Ribbono Shalom gave a bracha to. V'Yivarech Elokim Es Yom HaShi V'Yikadosh Oso Kivo Shabbos Mikol Malachto HaShabor Elokim Lasos. And the parallel Shabbos Bereishis, the pasuk I just cited. And the Torah has pointedly and succinctly captured the essence of Shvius by its graphic description. Shvius is called in the Torah Shabbos Hashem. Rav Kook Zatzal, his sefer on Shemitah is called Shabbat Haaretz. So Shvius is, the Lashon Chazal, Avkaita D'Malkasa. Essentially, Shemitah is related to creation. Shemitah does not require our observance. It's founded upon the object, the notion that Kiliha Aretz Hashem is the proprietor of the entire earth. And this, says Rabbi Simcha, is in stark contrast to Yovel, which is likened to Yom Tov. We call yourself a duty bound to sanctify the Yovel. The pasuk says, V'kidashtem eishnasach amishim shona. Yovel hi, kodesh ti alachem. It is a function of our sanctity. We have to sanctify the Yovel. We have to effect the kedushas ha-Yovel. Ki yovel hi, kodesh ti alachem. Min ha-sodeh, the Torah says, you have to return to your homestead. So embedded in Yovel is the concept of Yom Tov, which is predicated upon Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, the same kind of language in Parshas Emor the Torah uses vis-a-vis Yom Tov. And we know that the Gemara says, the Gemara in Brachas Memtes, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh Yisrael V'Azmanim Yisrael D'Kadshinu L'Zmanim. We're the ones who give Kedusha, we confer Kedusha upon the Zmanim, upon Yom Tov. Underlying Yovel is the idea of Shiluach Avodim, quintessentially the saga of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which serves as the fulcrum for all Yom Tovim Azecher, Litzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, Yovel requires, nay, it demands, and presupposes Kiddush Bezdin. It's something that's in our hands. So one, in effect, who trafficked in Perish Shvius, has uprooted, has impugned his Amun and the Bo Yolam as a creator. His own personal freedom has been tarnished. But just as our ancestors of old were bogged down in the quagmire of Mitzrayim and were redeemed, so too the Jew is given the opportunity to redeem himself with the onset of Yovel. We can therefore understand the linkage between the Pasha of Eved Ivri and Yovel. There's an organic and even conceptual kind of bond between the two. And the Meshech Chochma here goes a step further and introduces us, if you look towards the bottom of 22, in the second paragraph, where he writes, V'yesh b'zeh dvar ma'mukim al derech ha'emes, netuim al shadmot, Hazor HaKadosh, he cites the Zohar, a fascinating Zohar, an exciting passage in the Zohar that comments on the Pasuk, Bishnas HaYovel Azos Toshuvu Ish Al Achuzoso. What is the language of Toshuvu? Says the Zohar, Do Almo the Tshuva. That refers to the world of tshuva. V'hu alma d'cheiras, k'mo shekasu b'zohar HaKadosh. It refers to the psukim, v'chamushim olo b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, the psukim in B'shalach, haynu sod chamishim. V'zeo d'ksiva raisa, choras al aluchos, cheiras mishibud, cheiras im alach hamavis. This passage in the Zohar needs a lot more explication, but very simply, at a balabatish level for people like myself, Yovel is indissolubly connected to tshuva, which is identified with true cheiras of freedom. As it says, v'chamushim, yatsu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, that's the secret of chamishim. Chamishim, of course, being the Yovel, the Jubilee year. Through Torah, one achieves this cheiras. The Ran, actually, another Rishonim, they see this linkage in the context of the mitzvah of counting 49 days. And the pasuk says, the Ran at the end of Psochim, v'otziyachar esa'omi Mitzrayim, ta'abdun es elokim al hor hazeh. When you take Moshe Rabbeinu, when you take Klal Yisrael of Mitzrayim, ta'abdun, and that's to be understood, ta'abdu nun. Namely, at the end of 50-day period, then you're going to become over the Hashem. 50 represents the highest level of bina, of discernment and understanding that came about through Matan Torah. So we can begin to see why the freedom of Yosef HaTzadik is also contingent upon the sounding of the Shofar d'Cherusa. Yom HaKippurim is the day chosen to epitomize Slicha and Kapara, as the pasuk says, "Ki vayom azeh yichaper aleichem metayir eschem mikol chatoseichem mevei Hashem tetoru." The kol haShofar proclaims the geula of the individual from his transgression. Yovel is the world of tshuva, as the Zohar HaKadosh quotes. Vishnas haYovel azos toshuvu ish al huzaso. What happens on Yovel? The Jew returns home. He returns to his family. He returns to his possessions. He's been released from his bondage, but as we'll see in a little while, the return is far more profound. The return is going to be a return to his roots, to his shoroshim, to his very inner self, to his pnimius. The Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah, is found here on page number 3, number 24. I'll summarize the Ramban. Already has foreshadowed the seminal distinction between Shemitah and Yovel. And the Ramban really articulates it along the following lines. There are several salient distinctions between Shemitah and Yovel. Number one, Shemitah primarily revolves around the karka, the real estate of Eretz Yisrael. True, the Gemara says there's also Shemitah's ksofim, cancellation of monetary indebtedness, but the primary thrust of Shemitah in Parshas Bahar is clearly oriented to karka, oriented to real estate. The pasuk says, "V'shof sahoretz shabbos Hashem, sheish shonim tizva sadecha, v'sheish shonim tizmor kamecha, v'yasafta tzuvasa." Yovel relates primarily to people, to human beings. Shemitah relates to karka. Yovel, human beings. Psukim say there are a lot of action going on. B'safarta l'cha, the obligation to count. B'kidashtem, to sanctify the Yovel. U'krasim dror, to declare liberty. Yovel hitiyelochem b'shaftem, isha l'chuzoso, v'isha mishpachto tashuvu. And the pasuk I mentioned, quoted by the Meshech Chochma, b'shnas ha'yovel azos, tashuvu isha l'chuzoso. So one distinction, says the Ramban, Shemitah is focused on real estate, on karka. B'shof sa'aret Shabbos Hashem. Yovel, on human beings. Secondly, and this is what the Meshech Chochma pointed out as well, but the Ramban says it, Shemitah is Shabbos. Shabbos Hashem. U'vashona hashviyis, shnas shabbosom yeh la'aret, Shabbos Hashem. The Torah never refers to Yovel as Shabbos. Kodesh, yes, but not Shabbos. That's the second distinction. That's what the Meshech Chochma contrasted Shemitah with Shabbos and Yovel with Yom Tov. The Lashon of Mikra Kodesh, the Lashon of Kedusha, in the context of Yovel, as opposed to Shemitah and Shabbos that are coterminous. A third distinction the Ramban notes, Shemitah is in some way related to the past, to Shabbos Bereishis, to the Shabbos of Bria Sa'olam. What about Yovel? Yovel, says the Ramban, looks to the future, to a Yom Shekula Shabbos of Menucha L'chaye Olomi. Harav Kook Zatzal, in his preamble to his classic Sefer on Shemitah entitled Shabbat Haaretz, refers us to a fundamental machloket between Rashi and the Ramban in Chumash regarding the meaning of the term Yovel. I alluded to this earlier, And the machlokes Rashi and the Rabban essentially how to define the term Yovel. Rashi says, Shona zo muvdeles mishar shonim. This year is demarcated from other years. V'yesh lo shem levado, it has its own name, v'yovel shema, al shem tkiya shofar. Why is it called Yovel? Similar to the pasuk, as I mentioned earlier, Siluk Shechina of Har Sinai, Bimshoch HaYovel, Heima Yalu Bahar. The moment the shofar is blown, that's when the Shechina left the scene. However, the Ramban has a different take on the term Yovel. He understands that the word Yovel refers to drawer. And he says, where is the freedom embedded in the term Yovel? Shabo Yuval Kolish El Mishpachto V'El Achuzoso. People are returning to their homestead. They're reunited with their property and they're coming back home. Shiluach HaBodim. So Yovel is really the antithesis of Shvisa. Shvisa, which is Shemitah, means that we are at rest, we are passive, and Yovel is v'shaftem. There's a lot of frenetic activity taking place on Yovel. A very important distinction that Rav Kook actually mentions, the Machlokes Rashi and Ramban, and definition of the term. So therefore, Rav Kook says, Yovel is a kind of merit. He calls it an economic revolution that's taking place. Because Chazal described Avodim between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Avodim Yoshrim, Bat Roseim, Rosh Hashem, very beatific kind of vision that Chazal see in terms of Avodim. People who are Avodim were suppressed are now given freedom and they become Malachim, they become kings who have now crowns around them. Those who lost their Achuza were disinherited and now reinstated with their property and with their families. People who were slaves are now emancipated. So he calls Yovel, Harav Kuk Zatzal, Mered Beli Prot. A revolution, essentially, without violence. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal lived during the period of time, and I was a very young man, when there were many countries in Africa that were regaining their freedom. But almost all of the countries that were able to gain emancipation and freedom, they were formerly colonies of different countries in the world, it was always full of bloodshed, enormous amount of bloodshed. And Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim without bloodshed. We were freed, and it was a bloodless kind of revolution, if you will. And so too, Rav Kook says, that's the idea of Yovel. So Yovel, according to Rashi, is synonymous with shofar, Bimshoch HaYovel. According to Ramban, Yovel is related not so much to the shofar, but with the notion of drawer and the notion of a lot of movement taking place. Shvita or Shvisa or Shabbos is passivity and rest, and Yovel engenders pulsating activity, a lot of energy that in effect is being expended in the course of Yovel. So Yovel, says Rav Kook, is really a veritable social upheaval and revolution. And as I mentioned, Chazal describes servants who are disenfranchised, now suddenly freed, they assume the status of kings, they're adorned with crowns. Those who lost their family Achuza are reinstated. In short, that is an unbelievable revolution, a social and economic kind of revolution, because the Torah, realizing the passions and drives of man and recognizes the different strata of society and its multiple economic and social layers, so the Torah wanted to somehow redress whatever imbalance existed, and therefore it built in this social and economic kind of revolution. You'll take a look at the Hakdama of Rav Kook Zatzal, absolutely gorgeous Hakdama to all the halachas of Shemitah. The Torah recognizes the drives of man, recognizes the different strata, and somehow wants to somehow restore some sort of equilibrium, and that's what it does. So now coming back to Yovel and the Tkiah of Matzah Yom Kippur, which Rav Haigon contended is somehow connected to Yovel, and perhaps one could somehow see in Yom Kippur, a similar kind of idea that we just described vis-a-vis Yovel. If you look at item number 29, which is on page 4, you'll see a medrash, a very beautiful medrash. The medrash writes, Vayer vayiboker, in the beginning of Bereishis, Eilu maaseim shel tzadikim, yom echad, nosan lem HaKadosh Baruch Hu yom echad, ve'eze zayom HaKippurim. Somehow, Yom Kippur is also associated with the ability to transcend our Yetzer Hara, to be released from the bondage of the Yetzer Hara. And perhaps we can suggest that that's exactly what Yovel of Yom HaKippurim is all about as well, a drawer, a freedom. V'avarta shofar truah, as the Targum Yonason suggested, shofar de chayrusa, a shofar of chayrus. And now we have a series of mefarshim like the Ramban, Ala Torah and Acharemos in item number 30. Ramban here has a well-known chazal, he quotes the Pirkei Avoloza, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Klal Yisrael and Yom HaKippurim in a state of Tara, without Chet, and the Malachim already, Samuel, comments to Hashem Yisbarach, Yesh Lecho Am Echad Ba'aretz Kebalachi Ashores. Here you have a nation that seemingly is likened to Malachim and Yom HaKippurim, Ma Malachi Ashores Yechefe Rego, Af Yisrael Yechefe Rego, many areas of commonality between the Malachim and Klal Yisrael and Yom Kippur. Ma Malachi Ashores Ein Be'em Achilu Shtia, we don't eat and drink, similar to Malachim. And as we're likened to Malachim on Yom Kippur. And therefore, clearly on Yom Kippur, Klal Yisrael becomes essentially Malachi Asharis. We become individuals that are Ruchani. We are spiritual. We are Meshuchrar from our physical bodily elements. The Meiri also, in his Chibur and Al-Tshuva, that's a sefer that is unfortunately not sufficiently well-known and studied. It was recently actually put out, a new edition came out from the former Mashgiach of the Shalabim Yeshiva, Nodim Godel Ma'id, a Gavri Rabba, who's written many, many Svarim, put out a very beautiful edition of the Meiri Ala Tshuva that's kedai to look into, and annotated it very nicely. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was very fond of the Meiri's Chibur Ala Tshuva. That's how I became aware of it many, many decades ago. So he also writes, he talks about the mitzvah of eating and drinking. You look here in item number 31, on Erev Yom Kippur. And he goes on, in the context of explaining that, we have to be ready, our bodies have to be ready on the 10th day, lihios and lamod, orom b'sholal mikol tzorchei achomer. We have to somehow be completely and totally divested of whatever bodily elements we have. The element of the spirit, the element of the geist, of the ruach, of the ruchnius, that's what comes to the fore. And now, on Yom Kippur, we can focus on that element, on the Tzad Ruchani, and we're able to do that because of the preparation we do on Erev Yom Kippur by Achilu Shtia. And he writes in the second paragraph, explaining how this is the ultimate mandate. We should be completely Mishulau Mikol Sig Chomri in order to achieve the ultimate Shleimus, and that's exactly what Yom Kippur is all about. So essentially, what we have on Yom Kippur, and in a similar vein, what we have really on Yovel is almost a kind of analogy. There's a cheres that takes place on Yovel, and there's also a cheres that's taking place on Yom Kippur. And of course, all this is embedded in the idea of Tara. If you look on also a well-known comment of Chazal, comment actually on the Pasuk, what is Tahara? So the Mesillas Yeshorim has, of course, a famous section on Tahara that's found here. I Xerox both the Hebrew and the English, number 35 and number 36. So Tahara, he calls Tikkun Halev HaMachshava, perfecting one's heart, perfecting my thoughts to Hashem Yisbarach. A man should leave no room in his deeds for the Yetzirah Hara. And that's how is Tara achieved? By burrowing through layers of Yetzirah Hara that have accrued and insidiously encrusted themselves in my personality during the course of the year. And on Yom Kippur, we have to bore through those layers, and beneath the debris, what do we find? Leif Tohar, Brother Elokim. We find the Leif Tohar that Hashem created us with. Elokai, we say every morning, Neshama Shenasate Bi Tahirahi. And the Yom Kippur process of Tara strips away the veneer, and ultimately the core Neshama Tahara is that which emerges. In essence then, Yom Kippur represents the acme of a process that releases the Jew from the bondage of the Yetzer Hara. And that's certainly in sync with the Medrash that I mentioned earlier, namely that Yom Kippur is Vayer Vayboker Yom Echad, that is the distinctive day, and therefore, in this light, the correlation between the shofar of Matzah Yom Kippur and Yovel becomes even lechora more readily apparent. The shofar de Cherusa, the shofar of freedom of Yovel, is in reality freedom from the Yetzer Hara. It's a veritable drawer who cross in drawer ba'aretz lechol yoshveha. The Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Divracha, infers from that pasuk, Yovel hi tiyeh lachem, the Torah says, v'shaftem ish alachuzaso. Every man will return to his homestead. So the Mefarshim HaMedayik, the language of the pasuk seems to be somewhat cumbersome. V'shaftem ish alachuzaso, which should have said, she'toshuv ha'achuzo liba'olav, that the homestead that formerly was mine returns to its owner, to its original owner. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, v'shaftem ish alachuzaso. The implication being, the Torah is formulating it in this kind of fashion to underscore the fact that every Jew will return to his shoreshim, v'shaftem ish alachuzaso, to their roots. And that's exactly the intent of the Zohar, identifying Yovel with the Alma of the Tshuva, as the Meshech Chachma pointed out. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal often pointed out, etymologically in Tanakh, Tshuva is related to Psukim in Sefer Shmuel. The Navi tells us that Shmuel, judge, Klal Yisrael, Kol Yimei Chayav, Shmuel is both a Navi and a Shefet. He's sort of the one who bridges the gap between these two. And the Pasuk tells us, V'holach midei shona v'shona, and he made Sivuvim around Beit El, and Gilgal and Mitzvah, v'shofat is Yisrael, as kol ha'mekomos ha'eleh, and then the Navi uses a striking lashon. U'tshuvasa haramasa kishon beisa. What does that mean? It should have said, not u'tshuvasa haramasa, but v'shuvasa haramasa. He's coming back to his hometown, to his home. The Torah doesn't say that. The Navi doesn't say that. He says, u'tshuvasa haramasa. And he completed a magal, a circle. After Shmuel would make a circuit, he'd return to his home, u'tshuvasa haramasa, and that's the extent of tshuva, or yovel, shekol echad yuval el beso. Everyone is going home. Everyone is returning to his achuza. Everyone is returning to his shoreshim, to his roots. And that's the secret of Tara on Yom Kippur as well, hashava el hamakor. The inner core of the Jew is pure. Only a pseudo-personality was involved when I became involved in Chet. The moment I divest myself of that in the course of Chodesh Elul, one layer after another is uncovered, I return to my inner core. Elokai, neshama asher nasatavi tahoirahi. And indeed, the Sheva Shel Yovel is a Sheva Dechayrusa. We have succeeded in transcending and somehow divesting ourselves of the layers of the Eitz Hara. And the Ramban, in that citation that we mentioned earlier, that compares Klal Yisrael to Malachi Ashores, undoubtedly, we can now begin to understand as well the Mishnah on the bottom of page 4, at the end of Maseches Tainis, Lahoy Yom Tovim Yisrael, Kechamisha Sabav, Uki Yom Kippurim. The Gemara said there were several unique days in our calendar, Tubav and Yom Kippur. The Gemara comments, Bishlom Yom Kippur, it has an Itzlich Mechila, Yom Shinitnu Ba Luchos Achronos, the second Luchos, were given on Yom Kippur, and therefore that's a special day. And the Mishnah also comments, quoting the Pasuk Yishir Ashirim, Tse'eno Re'eno, Benot Sion, Bamelach Shlomo, Ba'atara She'itra Lo'imo, B'yom Chasunoso, B'yom Simchas Libo, B'yom Chasunoso Zeman Torah, B'yom Simchas Libo, Zebinim Yisabidosh, She'ibonim B'mher B'yomeinu. And Rashi immediately identifies our wedding and rendezvous with Hashem as taking place on the day of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a kind of chasana. On the wedding day, the chasan dons a kittel, a beged lavan. It's a day, according to the Yerushalmi and Bikurim, of Bechila Savonos. Rashi cites this, Yerushalmi in Chumash, Vayelech Esav el Yishmael, Vayikach es mochalas, Bas Yishmael ben Avroam, Machois Nevoyos, Al Noshav lo Leisha. So Rashi calls this Yerushalmi, mochalas. There are several times when one is zoche to Bechila Savonos. So Yom Kippur, in effect, is a Yom Tev, as described by the Mishnah, where Benos Yerushalayim dress in Kalei Lovon Sheulin, in white garments. Matan Torah was the day Chazal say Paska Zu Amasa. The Yitzhar was eviscerated, eliminated. And the Jewish people were adorned with crowns, similar to what's happening on, as we mentioned earlier, Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, Avodim Yoshvin, Bat Vaseyam Barashayim, Benenim Yiziv Ashrina, and perhaps this might also be inherent in the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Item number 33 in page 4, left-hand corner, lower section, the Rambam has a separate din of Tshuva on Yom Kippur. Kayadua, the Rambam fix of Tshuva, Kala Shana Kula, Tshuva, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and a separate din of Tshuva on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yehuda and Shari Tshuva also has a similar concept. The Rambam writes, Yom Kippur, whose man Tshuva called the Yochidu the Rabbim, who Kates Mechilo Uslicha the Yisrael. What a striking lotion. Kates Mechilo Uslicha the Yisrael. Lefikach, Chayavan HaKol, Lasos Tshuva, Ulizvados B'Yom Kippurim. Whenever I see this word Kates, and even in the context of the Rambam, it is reminiscent of the Rashi in Vayechi. Bikesh Yaakov, Legalos Es HaKates. Yaakov wanted to reveal the ultimate eschatological end of days, the Yom HaGodol VaNoira, that awesome period described by the Nevi'im as one in which Kimala Haaretz Deyas Hashem Kamayim Layom Echasim. The world will be universally connected to Hashem Yisbarach, and Yom Kippur is perhaps a microcosm of that expansiveness that would prevail in Achris Hayomim. And Yom Kippur was zochet to that Netzach for a short period of time. It presents the Jew with the opportunity for Tahara, detachment from the wiles of the Yetzer Hara. It's an embodiment of Matan Torah with all its ksarim, keneged nasa, keneged nishma, the crowns of glory. And we now understand the Gemara as well that occurs. You can take a look at the bottom of page number 4, item 34. The Matei Moshe, Ramesha Mad, quotes from the Rokeach, but it's actually a Gemara in Yuma. It's found twice in Shas's Gemara, that the Gemara indicates the Sodden has no Shlita on Yom Kippur. 364 days a year, the Sodden surfaces on Yom Kippur, he has been vanquished. And the Rokeach suggests this is the reason that, in effect, we sound the Shofar Matzor Yom Kippur. Nitzachnu es ha-Sodden. We have conquered the Sodden. The Sodden has been defeated. And perhaps this also would explain another very fascinating practice of the Vilna Gaon that's found on page number 5, the upper right-hand corner, quoted by the Chayodim in his Sefer, Nishmas Odom, that on Yom Kippur, there's no Ruach Ra. He quotes actually from the Gaon. If you look in this small print, it's underlined. Yom Kippur ain't Shera Ruach Ra ala Yadayim. One of the reasons why, because we wash our hands in the morning, the Gemara and Shabbos and the Zayar, because of Ruach Ra, and that's non-existent on Yom Kippurim. Ruach Ra, of course, is that which would warrant Mechitza. Ruach Ra has something to do with Yetzer Hara. But there is no Yetzer Hara on Yom Kippur. It's non-existent. So in this light, the Yovel of Yom Kippurim and the Tkiyas Shofar Matzor Yom Kippur, which is Zecher LeYovel, is telescoping Yom Shekulu Shabbos in Lucha L'Chayei Olamim. Vayera Vayboker Yom Echad, Elu Maaseim Shel Tzadikim. And Tosis and the Smag and Rishonim direct us to have a Suras Yom Tiv and Matzor Yom Kippur. Why? As I mentioned earlier, Acharei Mitzui, after we've been squeezed, as it were, Ritzui V'Ditzui, there's a sense of Tara that we've achieved. Ad Kedei Kach, where many have the practice of having Kiddush Lavana and Matzor Yom Kippur. And they do so even without putting shoes on, because the Simcha is overriding. Lech echo b'simcha lachmecha ki kvar rotzeh lokim es ma'asecha the baskol that comes down on Hashemayim, quoted by Tosis. And the Smag knows that just as we greet each other on Shabbos and Yom Tov with good Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom, good Yom Tov, Chag Sameach, so too we greet each other on Matzor Yom Kippur as well. On page number 5, the Ramban in Nitzavim, he describes the Imos HaMashiach falling upon the heels of Tshuva, in a beautiful pasuk that the Torah says, "Umol Hashem Elokecha Selvavecha Yeslavav Zarecha." This is the Techocha of Nitzavim, which is an extension, a hemshech of Parshas Kisavo. I spoke about it once on Shabbos morning. The Rishonim write, Tosis Rid points this out, and the other Rishonim mentioned it as well. Every Techocha must have Divrei Nechama. That's a klal. So the Techocha in Bechukosai has some sense of Nechama when the Torah says, "Oz Yikana Levavam He'arel." But in Kisavo, the Torah ends, Veshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim Bonios. Bismakartem Shom Liyavlecha La'avadim L'shvachos Ve'en Koneh. Where's the Nechama? So Rishonim said, the Nechama is in Nitzavim. And it's in the context of these psukim. Umol Hashem Elokecha Zlavavcha Yeslavav Zarecha. Yibon Shalom is going to circumcise our heart. And the Ramban has an absolutely beautiful explanation. We're going to do tshuva. And the Ramban says, Nira min aksuvim inyon zeh, ki mizman habriya hoysa v'shus b'yad ha'odom, lasas kitzono. A person was always given bechira free will, free choice to be a tzaddik or a rasha, because the fundamental principle of schar v'onesh is founded upon bechira, and the Rambam devotes three prokim in Hilchos Tshuva to bechira chavshis harishus nesuna. But the Ramban says limos haMashiach, what will happen? There will be no bechira because it will only be in one direction. The bechira will only be b'tzad tov. We will baruch Hashem have conquered the Yetzer Hara. Lo yisave lohem alev l'mashen roi v'lo yachmotz v'klal. Our Yetzer Haras will be completely and totally conquered. V'hi amila, that's what the Torah alludes to. Umo l'Hashem elokecha zavav v'chav yeslavav zarecha. Ki achemda v'hataiva or lo l'alev. Desire and different types of taiva, that a blockage to the heart. Umol halev, what does it mean to circumcise the heart? Shelo yachma v'lo yisave. And what will happen then, says the Ramban? The entire Ramban al Torah is designed that we should engage in a kind of self-discipline our entire lives. Shmiras HaMitzvos, Limud HaTorah, Chesed, all that is for what purpose? To restore Klal Yisrael to the Matzav of Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. Shoyose v'tiva v'asheroi l'asos. There was no Bechira. The ultimate Bechira is to lose our Bechira. This is a sugya that many Rishonim deal with at great length. But the ideal Bechira is where we have no Bechira. We can only move in one direction, only the Tzad HaTov. So Yom Kippur, therefore, is a microcosm of that period of Yemos HaMashiach, where a Jew for a fleeting while is able to attain a glimpse of eternity. The Yitzhar has been vanquished. The Jew has been catapulted to a state similar to that enjoyed by other Marishim Gan Eden before the Chet. When we examine the morphology of Chet, the Torah actually describes this in Nitzavim at great length, and this is also a discussion in Rabbi Yonah and the Shaarei Teshuvah found here on page 5 in the bottom of the page, number 42. A well-known pasuk, I'm not going to focus on it because it would take us a while to explicate one of the most difficult psukim in Chumash. The Torah describes a person who somehow conjures up this idea in his head, Shalom yeli ki bishrirus li bi'elech. I can do whatever I want, which of course is the, more or less, to a large extent, the manifesto of most of the world. I am free. I can do as I wish. Democracy. And then the Torah uses the cryptic expression, Leman sefeis harova es hatzmeya. The Targum translates, what does this mean, bishrirus libi, I'll do as I want, says the Targum. Bitkaif yitzra bisha delibi azil, one who has been gripped and seized by Zetzahara, one whose shrirus halev has overtaken him, whose intellectual and cognitive self has been conquered by his appetitive self, by his hedonic element. And Rabbi Yonah writes here in the Shaarei Teshuvah, that's the taiva that we have also an obligation to discipline and to curtail, and that is the shoresh of everything that causes harm and the like. And the Ramban also in a similar fashion, I'm not going to discuss that at this point in time, but what the Torah is telling us, that was Gufa the Chet of Adam HaRishon. The Rambam also in Mordechai Buchim, in the first Chet of Mordechai Buchim, the Rambam understands that that was the Chet. Vatera isha kitova itzel machol, vichitava hu leinayim, v'nechmano itzel haskil, vatikach mipiria vatochal. The Chet was that Adam HaRishon, prior to the Chet, was completely governed by his seichel, by emes. And now what happened as a result of eating from the Eitz Hadas? Now there was confusion. Now things were cloudy. Now there are so many agendas that people have. They can't make a decision objectively because we have this negiyah and that negiyah, this taiva and that taiva, this covered and that covered. So the chet was essentially, we gave up emes and instead we substituted it with tov v'ra, which are very subjective. Emes is objective truth. And tov v'ra, unfortunately, is conditioned upon so many different appetitive elements in our lives. There's a very beautiful English work called The Antidote by Harav Shraga Silverstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He translated many of the beautiful Sifrei HaMusar. He discusses this Rambam Mordechai Buchim. It's kedai for everyone to acquire that sefer. It's a pamphlet of about 40, 50 pages. And it's absolutely classic, the way he interprets the Rambam and Mordechai Buchim. So in effect, we who become prisoners of our own desires and succumb to sensuality, that's the chet. And that's what the shorish of chatoim are all about. On Yom Kippur, as on Yovel, somehow we're able to overcome all that and get back to Asharoshim, eternity, Umal Hashem Elokecha, Yemais HaMashiach, because Chet is the ascendancy of the Yetzer Hara, the primacy of the Yetzer Hara, the story of the Nachash, and the like. And the Rambam is medayik from the Psukim that I just cited earlier. Vatera ha'isha ki tov ha'etzah machol, lashon of tov, v'chi sava hu le'inayim. And that's what happened. We succumbed to the chet. We became a slave to our own sensuality, to our own yetzer hara. Or Rav Soloveitchik would describe it, hedonic man emerged. And it's that condition that the Jew attempts to redress on Yom Kippur by once again regaining the reins of control, permitting the seichel, the cognitive aspect of my personality, to triumph over the sensual, and thereby return to the matzav of other Marishon Kodem Achet. So the crowns of HaSinai and other Marishon are restored to the Jew on Yom Kippur, on Yovel, and that's a well-known Ibn Ezra. Here you can see it on page number 6, item 47. Ibn Ezra comments on this in the context of a Nozir, of the Neder. Rov HaOlam, says the Ibn Ezra, Holchim Achar Tavoseim. Most people are controlled by sensuality, by a streetcar named Desire. Masha'enkin and Nozir, Nezer, Lokova Rosho, Kol B'nei Adam Abdi Tavos HaOlam, Ba'melech HaAmiti, who's the true, authentic king? Someone who's able to control his appetitive self, Kol Mishu Chavshim and Atayvus. And this Yisod is very famous. Bali Musa speak a lot about it. So Yom Kippur is a microcosm of the great Yovel Asilovo. Tzka b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu. That's going to be sounded, the shofar gadol, the shofar the cherusa, v'hu akeitz, can be grasped by the Jew, where umal ha'aretz deyas Hashem kamayim l'yam echasim, the intellect will subdue the passions. It's the wedding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Knesset Yisrael. Yom Kippur is the day of mechilas avonos, where the Yetzer Hara has no zchus kiyum, the sudden does not exist. Kol ish yuval sharoshav, each person is brought back to his homestead, to his roots. Adam Arishon Kodem Achet Began Eden was a fulfillment of Yom Kippur, a day that reminds us of a reenactment of Maimon HaSinai, Pascha Zuha Masam. We're all with crowns. We've achieved the degree of Tara. And Chazal, the Gemara Shoshana, tells us that the pasuk that's associated with Rosh Hashanah, of course, is the pasuk that Yosef was released from prison, Tiku b'chad yishefa b'kesel yom chageinu, hasireisi miselo shichmo kapog midud ta'avorna. We are bidden by the Bali Halacha to bathe and take haircuts before Rosh Hashanah, as Yosef of old did, v'yegalach v'yechalesim leisav, before he appeared, before the melech, before Paro melech Mitzrayim. And the Mechaber now tells us that this is exactly what is happening on apparently Motzei Yom Kippur. He doesn't say this, he just tells us the obligation to blow, but this is what Chazal described, and Yerushalmi tells us that in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it's quoted by the Shechachma as well, look on page 6, number 49, you'll see this Meshechachma, Omer Rav Hila, Lo Nenshu Yisrael Ela Al Pasha Shiluach Avodim, Aldo Dixid Miket Sheva Shonim, that we should send out the Eved Ivri. The Meshech Chochma says this theme of Shiluach Avonim is the very essence of the Kedus Hayom of Yom Kippur. So in that vein, the Jew is duty-bound on Yom Kippur to eradicate the Yetzer Hara within him. The sounding of the shofar must concretize our resolve to throw off the shackles of the Yetzer Hara and release ourselves from the bondage. It's a time of Ukrosim Dror. It's the realization of Keitz, Mechilo, Slicha, as we say in the Ne'ilah, Levan Nechtal Meyoshek Yadeinu. We submit ourselves to the authority of Hashem Yisbarach as other Marishon of old in Gan Eden prior to the Chet. So this is also embedded in a very fascinating statement of Chazal at the beginning of Parsha Shmini. There are Korbanos that are parallel to the Korbanos that are offered on Yom Kippur. I can't discuss that now, but the Toras Kohanim comments over there. Ze adav ha-shetzivu Hashem tasu v'yeru aleichem kvod Hashem, ze ha-yetzah hara, ta'aviru milibchem. The presence of a vibrant Yetzer Hara precludes the possibility of Ashuas Hashchina. The Navi Yishayo that we read on Yom Kippur morning says, Kro bigoron al tachsoch, kashofar horein kolecha, behageli ami pishom lebes Yaakov chatosom. Cry out vociferously. Don't be restrained. Raise your voice like a shofar. Proclaim to my people their willful averus, to the family of Yaakov their error. The shofar in general, says the Rambam, in the famous comment, Rama writes, Uru Yishenim Mishnaschem, V'nidomi Makitsu Mitadim Aschem, V'chipsu Ma'asechem Mezichu Barachem, remember your creator, arouse the slumbering Jew from the stupor of the Havoli Azman, from the Taivis that we become entangled in. Elevate the Nekuda of Tara that exists within all of our hearts. It's no wonder that Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal, whose practice was to study one chapter of Rambam Hilchot Shuvah every day of Aseres Yemei Tshuvah on Yom Kippur, he reached Perek Asiri that speaks of the Jew and Avas Hashem. Let me extrapolate from that which we discussed to the context that we find ourselves in. Tshuva then is the freedom from sensuality, from all types of taivas that entice us that we become entangled with. Tshuva is the freedom to choose wisely and judiciously, not as a function of social pressures, societal pressures, not as a function of v'yas kristal tzach as yil tzach, Rabbi Yonah Chassid writes, what the Christian and secular non-Jewish world do, I do, what the economist Thorsten Veblen called the theory of conspicuous consumption, or what a Rebbe of mine used to say, me tunyiks, me too. What you do, I do. Freedom is a sense of shedding all the layers of materialism coming down to my very core. The Rambam has in Hilchos Gershon, I'm very fond of this Rambam, in Perek Beis Halacha Chaf, where the Rambam cites the Mishnah, the end of Maseches Gittin in Hamagarish, also Sugim Ba'abasra, relating to sometimes Bezdin can compel a person to give a get to his wife. And the Rambam asks, how is that possible? What happened to Bechira? What happened to freedom of will, freedom of choice? And this Rambam is quoted over here, actually, in the Rambam Komos. And the Rambam has the following comment, makes the following statement. The Rambam is found on page number 5, upper left-hand corner, item 38. I'll just read one small section of the Rambam. The person who is obligated al pidin to divorce his wife and does not do so, and Bezdin has to apply some pressure, kofen al sot shomer rotzani, and then the Rambam asks, what about Bechira? And the Rambam answers, that person is not considered to be acting under duress, under coercion. Shein omrim onu sel lemisha nilchatz v'nitchak lasas dober shein ha-mechuyi bo min ha-torah. Someone who is, what the Gemara says, talyu v'zoven, someone is compelled at the point of a gun to sell some property. That's considered to be a situation where he's under coercion. Avamishet kofo yitzra hara levatal mitzvah. Someone who's yitzra hara got a hold of him, and as a result, he does not carry out a mitzvah, or he doesn't avera, and now we go ahead and apply some heat, some pressure, till he goes ahead and decides to do the mitzvah, which is mechuyev to do, or to refrain from doing that which is aser. Ein ze onas mimenu. Elohu onas atzmo b'dayto hara. He is responsible, and therefore the Rambam says every Jew wants to do the right thing. Some interpret the Rambam, this is the pinta of the Yid, that everyone has that neshama, that inner core, which is tahor. Everyone wants to be miyisrael b'rotzehu lasas kol hamitzvos u'lisrachik min averos. But my yitzhah hara overwhelmed me, engulfed me, and now we have to apply a little pressure till the real me emerges. And that's the concept. The Rambam says there's total bechira, because you were, in effect, captive of your yetzer hara. So that's the ability to develop freedom. I think I mentioned already once before when our Soloveitchik said Shur Magitin. So he cited this Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Chaf when we learned Perek HaMagarish at the end of Maseches Gittin. And then he, out of nowhere, referred to a company in New York City. I think they're also in Boston, Massachusetts as well. He was familiar with this company from there when a person's pipes in their sink are all clogged up. So what do? You bring in Rota Ruta. The Rav even sang a jingle. The jingle is, Rota Ruta, away go trouble down the drain, Rota Ruta. Somehow, they come in with their high pressurized hoses and they're able to somehow remove all the grime and grease. And before you know it, everything is sparkling. And that's exactly what the Bezdin is doing. And what Hashem is brought sometimes has to do to cloud yourself. He has to bring out the Sharoshim. And so this is a fulfillment of Ukrosim Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshver. This is what happens on Motzo Yom Kippur and Yovel. I thought, half jokingly, in the last number of months, COVID-19. So I thought that COVID is related to COVID. Now we're distancing from each other. So now there's COVID atfila. We don't talk to each other. Now we're masked and we're able to learn Torah. Maybe that's Pshat and Chazal. Af chochmosi omdoli. Chochma shalamarati ba'af. Chochma that I learned when my nostrils were covered. Omdoli. That's also a key in my mitzvah. Somehow, the COVID atfila, COVID ashrina, COVID atfila, COVID mechavero, the distancing, or I read COVID-19 as COVID-19. If you will, a kind of yovel. It's brought us back home to the Pinta Leid, to that Elokai, Neshoma, Shenasata, B'Tahirahi. This Lilliputian virus has wreaked havoc on the entire globus, has brought mankind down to its knees. From a Musa standpoint, this is really an ideal matzav. Of course, no one wants the coronavirus. We want it to be ASAP eliminated tonight, right after the shir, in the schus of the shir. It should be eliminated. But it's an ideal matzav, because anyone who's a thinking person realizes the chol b'nei v'asa yikru v'shmecha l'afno seylecha k'vishay aretz. Yakir v'yedu kol yoshvei sevel. The Yad Hashem is so glaring, so self-evident, even the biggest megalomaniac should be brought down from his lofty perch. I believe even the President of the United States has been, to a certain extent, undergone some sort of diminution as a result of not getting into all the details of his ups and downs in this matter. But the confluence of all the forces that have impacted and jarred the world economy have catapulted us into an enviable position of Ein Ol Milvado. A hakora, a recognition that it's only Yad Hashem that controls and guides the universe. The hakara that the human being, with all of our technological prowess, ultimately we are hopeless, hapless, and impotent. We're but putty in the hands of the Almighty. We say on Yom Kippur night, in the Kihine, there are a lot of beautiful nigunim for that beautiful slichas that we say on Yom Kippur night. B'tzoyse marchi, b'tzoyse mekatzer. Kein anachnu b'yotcho chesed noitzer. That visceral recognition, that cognition, is the foundational component of tshuva. When we reach that element of no yetzer hara in Yom Kippur, the yetzer hara has been expunged and eviscerated when we realize that ani va'afsi oid, anoichi afa v'efrem, with all my gargantuan knowledge, I've been bested by a virus smaller than the yitush that went into the nostrils of Titus HaRasha, as the Gemara in Gittin describes. That's the epitome of ultimate tshuva. And that recognition that all of us undoubtedly have can bring us to a rebirth, can bring us to a hischachus, can bring us to a hakara. And that hakara, of course, that comes especially, Abchaim Elojida writes, tshuva me'ava, where zdonos become schlios, ultimately comes as a result of a commitment to limud haTorah, to chesed, to mitzvahs. Nefesh HaChayim notes already that primarily tshuva me'ava comes to esek haTorah, karoi. The way the Medrash Tanchuma writes in Noach requires enormous commitment, enormous amola, enormous ian, and all of us are capable of doing it, each one at their own level. When a person does a mitzvah, the Gemara says in Saita, kiner mitzvah. A mitzvah is compared to a ner, but Torah is compared to or, to a light that illuminates. And here we have Ahakara, all of us have it, individually and collectively, and we realize now that only Rachmei Shamayim, only storming the heavens that we, Mitzvah Hashem, are doing now, and especially on Yom Kippur, which is a Yom Tefillah par excellence. Me'erev Ad Boker, as I mentioned a number of times, that the minhag of Klal Yisrael, many have the minhag to stay in shul the entire day. That's why I mentioned as well that Aleinu is not said because we don't need the shul. So here we have an opportunity to once again reconnect with Hashem Yisbarach, eliminate the Yetzer Hara, become Malachi Ashores, be reborn. What an opportunity. What a hizdamnut paz that all of us have. I just want to end with a vignette, which is not really my area, but it's always important, actually, for inspirational reasons. The Ribbono Shel Olam is waiting for us. His hands are outstretched. That Klal Yisrael should come back. And all of us can, especially with the Hakara that we have now. So there was a Jewish businessman on a packed train from Manhattan to Washington, D.C. And he comes in and he sees there's only one empty seat that no one really wanted. But the fellow across from that empty seat looks like a thug. One of these, not so, as they say in Hebrew, local kach simpati. Not such a sympathetic kind of looking fellow. Okay, but he has no choice. So he sits down in that seat. He makes eye contact with that individual for a few moments. And a few moments later, again, there's eye contact. And he begins to become a little bit apprehensive, a little concerned, a little fearful, a little frightened. And finally, the businessman says to that individual, "Can I help you?" He sees him looking at him. So the thug pulls back his hood a little bit. And lo and behold, he has a small yarmulke on. And the businessman is taken aback. And he says to this fellow who looks like a thug, "Tell me, what's your story? What's going on over here?" So he begins to tell him, when he was 10 years old, he was like a kind of hermit. In the 1990s, computers were becoming popular. So my parents thought that maybe if they buy me a computer, that would be helpful. Perhaps it could give me some direction in life. So I combine my two passions, computer programming and sports statistics. Everyone knows that young men, especially Americans, they are, I'll be polite, they're ensconced in sports. Let's speak politely. That should be the worst avera that they have, being ensconced in sports. So he had this combination of these two passions, and he developed a program that could be updated in real time. And a cousin came from America and said, "Let's go and make it a .com. And after some time, he had a massive fight with his parents. He said things he shouldn't have said, and his parents and he agreed that he should leave the house so he shouldn't have a negative impact on his siblings. He came to New York, his cousin was there, and they made that program into a .com. They charged subscription for it, and they made tons of money. And one day, when he was sitting in his penthouse in Manhattan, his cousin walked in and said, "We're done. Someone came out with the same program as you and I and is offering it gratis, free of charge to the public." And of course, both of them were stunned because he was spending enormous amounts of money. He lived a very lavish kind of lifestyle. And before he knew it, he ran out of money to the point where he had to be eating, Rahman al-Hassan, like some vagabond, some beggar out of trash cans. And he decided to write a letter to his parents and asking them, "Could we start over?" And he said, "I'll get on the train to Baltimore, where you live. And by the station in Baltimore, there's an oak tree. If you want me back, you'll come to the train station. You'll hang a white flag. I'll come off the train, and we'll start all over again. If there's no flag, I'll know that I should stay on the train and continue on my way." So the businessman asked, "So what happened?" The young man responded, "I don't know. I'm now on the train. I'm traveling there." So now, a bit later, they're pulling into the Baltimore station. So he said, "I can't look. Maybe you'll look for me. Let me know what's happening." So the businessman says, "Don't worry. A parent is a parent. We'll always take their children back." The young boy, "But you don't know what pain I caused them," this young man said. And finally, the conductor announces, "Baltimore. We're in the Baltimore station." So the businessman says, "I see the oak tree. I don't see any white flag. Wait a moment. Let me look more carefully. Yes, the whole tree is covered in white. And there are two elderly people with outstretched hands with tears on their cheeks. I think you should get off the train." The Ribbono Shel Olam, his hands are outstretched. We have a chance for Hischatshus, Yom Kippur, a day where we're likened to Malachi HaShores, we can be reborn. He's waiting for us. Let all of us make the overture. Ani l'dodi, l'dodi li. We make that overture, we make that commitment, the Ribbono Shel Olam will embrace us with open arms, and Be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach, all of Klal Yisrael will be zocheh to aksiv v'chasima tova Olenu ve'al kol Yisrael, amen v'amen.